Well, one day I will understand how to use these mics. One day. No worries. Let me really just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just give you so much thanks that we can be here this morning, a new year, fresh one for our church. And we just pray as we go into this new series this morning, Lord, that our minds will be open, our hearts will be open as well, that you can help us get something out of this, whatever that might be. And we just pray that you can use me as your vessel this morning, Lord, to speak through me. And we just pray that we'll see how we just go. We pray for his name. Amen. Awesome. So, good morning, everyone. We're starting a new series for the next 4 weeks. We're calling like the big picture, I guess you might say. So, they're sort of going to cover creation, the fall, redemption, and new creation. So, today we're going to talk about creation, which is really exciting because I love the Genesis story, which is always really, really beautiful. So, if you'd like to follow along with me, we're just going to quickly look at that Genesis 1 verse quickly, and if that's okay. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, it sounds simple, doesn't it? So, yet behind this sort of, like, this statement that we see right here, there's all these huge debates that come out of it. There's this sort of questions like, what's our purpose? How did we get here? Who created God? So, these sort of big questions come out of this, but straight up, we see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Such a simple statement, but it's insane how much we talk about these sort of key things. So I thought a good way to sort of start this sermon today would be to actually sort of talk about the nature of God and how that looks. So I guess the first idea of that is like the idea of the Trinity. So the Trinity is sort of one of those sort of key things that we believe as Christians, but it's something we sort of struggle to get our heads around sometimes. So we know that the Trinity consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, people really struggle to understand how they're still just this one thing instead of like, even though it's three things. So it can be really, really confusing. And I don't know if you've heard all those different analogies like the egg. So you have the eggshell, the egg white, and the egg yolk, and that idea of you have an egg, but there's three parts of that egg. Then you have like H2O, so you have water, ice, and gas. It's sort of like three different types, but all sort of one. They're like all H2O. Well, I don't know if there's any Harry Potter fans out there, but like Cerberus, that three-headed dog, is my favourite one. So you've got like the three heads in the one body that goes around. And hopefully if you don't sing lullaby, God doesn't go to sleep. But yeah, so you've got these sort of all these different ideas. And I guess you can also look at that idea of marriage, of two becoming one. And we see that in Scripture, that this idea of two people becoming one. And that idea of marriage and that sort of an idea. So there's so many different ways that we can sort of get this sort of idea around the Trinity. I almost said the trilogy. In the Trinity. And it's hard to get our head around. It's something we may never fully be able to grasp until we see God when we go to heaven. But we see, I think the good thing about starting with the Trinity is we actually see the Trinity here, I believe, in the beginning, in creation. And we see in Genesis 1-5, let me just quickly read it for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning, the first day. And if we quickly jump over now, quickly to John, we see John chapter 1, just this beautiful, John, I think it's one of my favorite, it's just an incredible gospel. We see this beautiful couple of verses in the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there with God, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness was not understood. So we see this idea of the Trinity in the beginning, in creation. We see in Genesis we saw God was hovering over the earth. Some people talk about that sort of part where it talks about the Spirit was hovering over the earth, that was the Holy Spirit. Some argue that it isn't, some argue that it is. I believe that in my mind, it makes sense to me that it is the Spirit of God sort of hovering over the world. So you have God the Father and the Spirit sort of hovering there together at the start of creation when that's happening. We see here in John that the Word was God, the Word was Jesus. So we hear those that know and have read the Gospel of John. So we see that Jesus was there in the beginning, and we see that God the Father and the Holy Spirit were there in the beginning. And this beautiful thing happens that this creation all together, the Trinity working together to create all of humanity and the world and the universe. We then get to this sort of other question, I think it's good to sort of knock on the head here as well, that when we get to this sort of question of who made God. So I don't know if you've ever been asked that before. I've been asked so many times, like, oh, I have, like, if God created like the universe, then who created him? We get this sort of classic sort of question that always gets brought up. Well, there's an issue, I think, always with that question in the words of made. So God is the uncreated God, right? We believe that God has always been. He's omnipresent. He's always been there. And straight away, you can always ask him a question, well, if you believe that there has to be a creator, then my God is the creator. So he created everything. He is always there. He is omnipresent. He's always existed. And I think one way I like to sort of look at this, and I sort of tell this sort of an idea of, I'm just going to close this for a sec so this makes, so I can actually do this. So just imagine this is sort of like our timeline. So you have the beginning of creation, and we'll say this is the end of the world, however that might look. Just make it where, maybe here, maybe there, I don't know. Let's go here. And then maybe Jesus is, when Jesus died, maybe that's here, and when all these other things happened. Anyway, but God is not in that. He's all around it. He's looking at this all at once, because he's at the beginning of time, he's the end of time. He sees everything at once. He's omnipresent, that sort of an idea. So God doesn't exist in he does exist in this, because he's with us right now. But he's also outside of that. And it's hard to understand how that looks, but that's how our God sort of works. That this idea of God created, how could God be, this idea of God, something had to create God. You can sort of push back, well, something had to create that thing that created God, and then something had to create that, then something had to create that, then something had to create that. Just keeps going and going and going. And it's all these different ways that they sort of argue that the Big Bang and all this different stuff. But the thing that makes sense so much, especially looking at creation, how perfect everything is, that there is a creator and he was there always. In that, an omnipresent God that has always been. So we see, I guess, before we start this, the proper part of our message, that the Trinity was there at the start of creation, and that God has always been there. He is always there, and he was there at the start of creation. So I guess we sort of get to that next part of all things came to be through him. So Genesis 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There it is. I can't make this verse any more simple, for the Creator created all things, right? And if you really believe 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, then it's very clear that all things are created in God, from God, right there at the start. When God said, "Let there be light," there it was. When he says, "Let there the water teem with living creatures," guess what? There was living creatures. We live in one of the most beautiful parts of Australia, right? When we walk down the Cays Beach, we're walking down there, it's just gorgeous. You see the caves, you see the beach, the ocean, all these beautiful things. That's what God created. When you see those dogs digging and playing on the beach, God created that. When you see families together, God created that. When you see those smiles on people's faces, God created that. It's God revealing himself in that creation. It's just this sort of beautiful thing that we see in that. We also see that we are made in the image of God in this creation story. You see, in Genesis 1:26-27, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In these two verses, there's this one thing that is repeated multiple times. We are all made in the image of God. So what does that actually mean? Being made in the image of God. Does it not mean that we all look the same? If you look at me, do I look the exact same as Bob and Desley down here, or Becky Fong down here? Or look, we all look very different, don't we? Very, very different. So it doesn't mean we all look exactly the same. We all look very different in many ways. It's not on the outside, but what's in the inside that is the image of God that we see. And I guess the first part of that is our attitudes and our values, like sort of talk about. So when we love each other, we see value in someone's life. That's what we see, the image of God. Humanity being made in the image of God gives humanity a deep sort of rooted value and makes all people sort of equal and worthy of respect at all times in every way. Being made in the image of God makes us valuable in God's eyes. He feels for us and he loves us. We see this in the relationship of the Trinity, right? When we see the Trinity in relationship with each other, it's this beautiful community that we see. I think Rabbi Zacharias talks about this sort of idea of like universe, like that idea of university, unity and diversity. And we see that in the Trinity itself. I love this actual quote from Rabbi Zacharias. If God says he loves, who was he loving before creation? If God says he speaks, who was he speaking to before creation? Communication and affection is contained in the Trinity and always has. So we have this beautiful community of love and affection going on in the Trinity. And when we're made in the image of God, it's the same for us. We've got made in this affection for each other, this love for each other. All these different things come out of that. Only in the Christian faith, I believe, not in any other religion, in my point of view, that love precedes creation. Compared to any other thing, you see that love precedes creation in that Trinity. It's just so beautiful. So I think a good example of that is the fires at the moment. We see the fires just all over our nation. You're hearing these horrible stories over social media, over the news, all these different things. And what edges us to help others in need is our love for humanity, right? If love is the heart of our existence, you might say, God is love. And we see that in the relationship of the Trinity itself. We all hunger for relationships, and we see that comes from our Creator who made us in his image. So when we see these fires going on, these firefighters, that's why we have firefighters, that's why we have ambulances, that's why we have police, that's why we have all these different people, because they value life and we value life, right? And that's sort of in this beautiful image of the Trinity and in us. Being made in the image of God also sets us apart from the animals, the birds and the creatures of the sea. We see in verse 28, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God has made each and every one of you special, but he's also given you authority over his creation. He's given us a role that makes us so special. And that role and that authority and that purpose that God's given us over his creation doesn't mean that we just go out and ruin it. It's something that we need to look after. We need to love that creation, care for it, make it better. That's why we have these different groups that go around trying to plant trees, trying to look after climate change, trying to do all these different things, endangered species, zoos, all these different programs to make sure, like, there's a rhino program at the moment going on. I don't know if you've heard of this, but there's only a couple of white rhinos left in the world, and they're actually bringing them to Australia and putting them into the middle of the Australian desert to actually survive there because there's no poaching. So they're just sort of trying that sort of a new way to keep this white rhinos, I think they are, or one of those types. But it's just all these different programs that you see going around the world are ways to try and look after this creation. And as Christians, we need to be a part of those sort of things. I'm not saying every single one of us has that as a complete thing, like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to leave this church right now and sign up and look after the whales or go do this, whatever that might be. But God puts different people with hearts into those sort of roles to look after those things and love those things. And as Christians, we need to, instead of just throwing our rubbish on the ground, whatever that might be, we need to actually be protecting, loving, and looking after that creation instead of destroying it. And I guess the next thing I think it's good to sort of talk about in this creation sort of story is we're also made to bring glory to God. In Isaiah 43, verse 7, we see, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Being made in God's image gives us purpose. Gives us all these different gifts. We've got our music team, our sound team, all these other people in our church that are doing all these different ministries that they're a part of. They're all given different gifts. We see that beautiful image in Romans and 2 Corinthians of that sort of working together as the pinky can't help the hand if it does different things or whatever that might be. We're all part of the body of Christ, right? We've all got different gifts, and those gifts are to give glory to God. Whatever that gift you may have is to bring glory to God. And I think in that as well is God is creative, right? So we see God create all these things. When we look out in nature, we see all this creation is beautiful. And being made in the image of God, we're also creative. We see people that love art. We've got the creative team at the moment that's doing all these incredible things. We've got all these people in our church that have these gifts of creativity. Alina Ross has just got this beautiful artwork. I don't know if you've seen her stuff, but it's just incredible. All these people have different types of creative sort of things, and that's because we're made in the image of God. And we've got to use those gifts to bring Him glory. Some of us are gifted in sport, singing, puzzles, whatever that might be. Out of those things, those gifts that we have, we need to be using them to bring glory to God. God created us that we would bring glory to Him. And He wants you to use those gifts for the right reasons. Yeah, today's a pretty simple message, I guess you'd say, in those sort of ways. But I guess what I really want you to leave from this is that how are you going to start this new year? What do you need to think about when it comes to creation? And how are you going to bring, how do you see yourself in that? God created you. You see in Psalms that He created you and He knew you in your mother's womb. And He knit you together there. He knows exactly who you are. And you are made in His image. So how are you going to use your gifts to bring glory to God? When He created you, He loves you so much. He's created you special with value. You are so precious to Him. And part of our purpose in living in this world is bringing glory to Him. So how can you bring glory to God this year? How, in your life, what skills has God given you? Whether that's these sort of creative gifts like arts or whatever that might be. How can you bring glory to Him in those things? And what's maybe something in your life that's taking glory from God? And maybe you're using that for yourself, whatever that might be. But God created you for a purpose and He loves you. We need to bring glory to Him. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much that You love us. We thank You for the gifts You've given us and that we are made in the image of God. That You created us to be in relationship with each other, to love each other, but also love Your creation. And we just pray that You use us in whatever capacity that might be, to use our gifts to bring You glory, to look after Your creation and bring glory to You through that. Whatever that might be, that You use us and our gifts to serve and love and care for whatever that might be, Lord, whether that's humanity or Your creation. Be with us this week as we start this new year, that we will do that the right way. We pray for these things in Your amazing name.